I bet your mind was kind of wondering, okay, so what's missing? Did somebody forget their line? Some of you out there in the tent are probably watching, and I bet your first reaction was, who's running the soundboard? Or maybe you on the internet, watching the service online, you probably hit your button a few times, I bet you. Silence can be very uncomfortable, can't it? Especially when you're expecting something to happen. We're going to start a brand new series. It's called When Jesus Seems Absent. See, we don't like silence, especially when it comes to our relationship with God. When we expect Him to have an answer for us. When we expect Him to answer our prayers. And today we're going to start this series off with a message called Sounds of Silence. The sounds of silence can often be deafening. In fact, take a look in your bulletins and pull out this little brochure that's going to explain the messages that we'll be covering in this new series. When Jesus Seems Absent, I love the graphic here that they use, with a lonely gentleman walking through the desert as if no one's around. We're going to start off today with a message called The Sounds of Silence. You know, if God is really present, if God is really real, then why can't I hear Him? Especially the times that I want Him to answer me. We'll be talking about that. Next week, you see that my son Brandon will be here. And he'll be speaking on when bad things happen to good people. He was here when we did a little Father's Day interchange. I said, Brandon, this one is on your own. So he's going to have his New Hope debut here to give you a message on what he's learned along the way. I'm going to be in China, by the way. I'm leaving on Friday. An opportunity came up. I can't go into much more detail about it, but it's an exciting opportunity. Government officials are asking this question. Is Christianity the answer for China? And so there are a bunch of CEOs on the mainland. They've asked me to be a part of this entourage going over there. And we're going to meet with some government officials and explore that question. Because if this underground movement of Christians, their number over 100 million, become legalized in China, do you know what that means? Bunch of paquets running around for Christ, man. And so it's going to be a prime opportunity. Yeah, we're praying for that. So I would covet your prayers. And so while my son is here teaching you about bad things happening to good people, I'm sure we'll be sharing some of that ministry there in China as well. And then you're going to have Pastor Wayne coming back. He's going to talk about loneliness and how that's the silent killer. You know, in this holiday season, we go through a lot of different celebrations, a lot of decorations that you might see. Sometimes, though, in fact, some statistics show that this is the most loneliest season for those who just can't find their ways around. So Pastor Wayne will be addressing that. And then look at the following week, November 6th and 7th. I'm sorry, October 30th, 31st, I'll be talking about struggling with sin. Although God is present in our lives, we still sin, don't we? How many sinners in the house? Raise your hand. Yeah, raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you just sinned. Yeah, because we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And we'll be talking about why we still struggle with that. The following week is a very exciting weekend. We'll be preparing for a Veterans Day holiday. And Admiral Jeremiah Denton will be our special guest. If you don't know who he is, he spent 7 years in Vietnam in a concentration camp, 4 years in solitary confinement. And he's going to be here to share his story about miracles that happened even while he was in solitary confinement. Pastor Wayne will then be back dealing with doubt and how do we deal with doubt. And then we'll close off the series on a weekend before Thanksgiving called Thanksgiving. Many times we don't give thanks enough to the Lord. But today we'll be talking about the sounds of silence. How do we handle life when God gives us the silent treatment? You know, I love reading in the Old Testament because Moses had an advantage over us. When he prayed and he wanted God to lead the way, remember what God used? A pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And whenever that pillar of cloud moved and the pillar of fire moved at night, all they had to do was look for it. And as it moved, they would move. As it stopped, they would camp. When it moved, they'd move again. They knew exactly where God was. They knew exactly what God was saying to them. Today is a little different, isn't it? I think it'd be so cool. You know, if you're praying for the right guy to marry girls? Wouldn't it be so neat if this guy comes up to your door and knocks on the door and you open the door because you're praying, Lord, is this the right guy? You open the door and there's a pillar of cloud over his head or fire burning. You would know that that's the guy. Or if he opens the door and there's thunderstorms, you know to shut the door right away, right? It'd be so good if we had those kind of signs today, but we don't. Somehow God is silent. Somehow he seems to be silent, especially when we want him to answer our prayers. Sometimes we pray and God seems like he's a million miles away. We try to go and visit him and he has that little sign on his door, out to lunch. We'll be back at a certain time. We want an answer, but we just can't seem to get that answer. We have a child that's diving deeper into rebellion, and so we dial 1-800-GOD, and there's a busy signal on the other end. Or we try to key in to www.god.com, and all we find is, this site is under construction. We don't get any answers from God. How do we handle when life gives us those situations, when the sounds of silence just seems deafening? I think no one experienced this more than a man named Job. If you read about Job's story, you know, he had everything going for him. In fact, the Bible says there was no one else in the world like him. He loved God. He was faithful to God. He was blessed with 7 sons and 3 daughters. But one day, God and Satan had a conversation. And it's beyond me that God would allow Satan in this conversation. He says to Satan, yeah, go ahead and have your way with Job. And we see Satan taking away his sons, taking away his daughters. Job loses all of his possessions. Satan then begins to, he gets permission from the Lord to now inflict boils and scars and sores all over his body. And you got to wonder, Job, a faithful man, must have been wondering to himself, why is this happening to me? And he cries out to God. In fact, let's read the top of your notes, that scripture out of Job, where he's crying out to the Lord. And let's see what God says to him. Let's read that. Ready? Go. I cry out to you, O God, but you don't answer. I stand before you, but you don't even look. You have become cruel toward me. You use your power to persecute me. You throw me into the whirlwind and destroy me in the storm. Ever had seasons like that in your life? Where you're saying, Lord, I'm standing before you. Will you just say something to me? Will you just give me an answer? I'm trying to make sense of it all, Lord. But your silence is killing me. Have you had times like that? How do you handle life? When God seems to be silent. Number one, would you fill this in? When God seems silent, maybe we need to adjust our posture. Adjust your posture in life. Put yourself into a position where you can begin to hear what God may be saying. See, many times, folks, the problem isn't the fact that God is not speaking, that God is not talking to us. A lot of times the problem is we're not in a position to hear what he's saying. See, a lot of times when we go through trouble, when in the midst of a storm, there's so many distractions that are vying for our attention. When you're in the midst of a storm, there can be so many voices that may be competing for your attention, telling you what to do, what not to do, and you have such a difficult time discerning. God, is that you? God, is that you? So it may not be that God is not saying anything. A lot of times we're not in a posture. We're not in a position to hear him, to tune into him, and to discern what he's saying into our lives. And that ability to discern, that inability to discern, is not God's problem, it's our problem. It's like this. You know, we have today, we don't have those dial radios anymore, do we? We use what? iPods. We download music. And so the music we want to hear, we just click on it. But you know, in the old days, before my time, they had these dial-up radios. In fact, let me show you something here. They're going to bring this out to me. They have these dial-up radios. This one here is actually an emergency radio. It's not battery operated because in an emergency, you don't have any power. You can't find batteries. So what do you have to do? You got to crank it up. So you crank up this radio. You crank it up. And then you turn it on. Oop, broken. Honey, you just broke them. So you crank it up. And so you get some juice in here, and you turn on the radio, and let's see, yeah, there you go. And you hear that? And you go. Or you want to find something else? You turn it different. Can you hear that? Maybe I should go FM. So let's go FM. That's AM. Well, there was FM. But, and then, okay, no more juice, so I got to crank them up again. So you crank them up again like this. There you go. Ah, let's try another one. I'm trying to find the football game.
No more. Hey,
Robert,
I can't remember when the last time we were able to say at home.
But I don't want to tell the score. I don't want to find out later on. But you see, you can turn it to different dials and find different stations. Now, here's the point. If I'm listening to one station, and I turn it to another station, did that first station kind of go off the air? Did they shut down their operations? No, it's still broadcasting. They're still broadcasting. I just changed positions, didn't I? Now, if I run out of juice in this thing, in this radio, does that mean that the stations closed down? That they ran out of juice? That they have no more electricity to run their station? No, they're still operating. I just have to crank up the juice. See, a lot of times, if the broadcast, we're not receiving it, it may not be because of the source. It may be because we're not in a position to receive what the source is producing. So maybe sometimes when God seems to be silent in our lives, it's not a matter of God not speaking to us. We just may not have the juice. Maybe there's something going on in our lives where it's interfering with receiving what God is saying. And so maybe what we need to do is change our positions, change our postures. You know, that's why the Bible says in Psalms 37, let's read that scripture together. Ready? Go. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. You know, sometimes, folks, the greatest distraction in our lives, when we pray and our prayers aren't being answered, you know what the greatest distraction is? It's right there in that psalm. Our eyes then get focused upon others whose prayers are being answered. And we say, oh, how come they're getting their prayers answered? How come that wicked guy over there, that guy is evil, and yet everything is going his way? How come it's not happening to me? You know, he divorced me. He took all my possessions. He filed this lawsuit. How come he's getting... And we get so caught up with that, it distracts us from repositioning ourselves to be in a position where God will be able to speak to our hearts. And the Bible is saying there, he's saying, change your posture. Delight yourself in the Lord. Turn your posture around so you're not looking at other people. In other words, here, this is the way my Bible says it. No worry, beef curry. If you're going through some trouble right now, turn yourself away from the worries and turn it back to me, says God. Look at me, says the Lord. In fact, look at what John says. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. You see, folks, underline that phrase, he who is of God. Who is that? Who are they who is of God, who are of God? What does that mean, he who is of God? They're the ones who have removed all the stumbling blocks between them and God. They're the ones who are able to deal with the issues, who see the distractions, but are able to push that aside to turn their attention back to God. You see, folks, sometimes when you're going through a tough moment in life, especially when those who are going through a divorce, they come to me and they say, well, you know, my husband just filed or I lost my job and I don't know what to do and help me to make this decision. You know what I say to them a lot of times? Don't make any decision until you get your heart right with God. Put on some worship music, man. Just get some worship CDs and just turned it on. Read the Bible. Don't, I know Pastor Wayne will get mad at me for this, but you just disregard. If you're in that kind of a setting, it's okay to disregard the Bible bookmark and just go into the book of Psalm. I say to a lot of people, just read the book of Psalm. And you'll see how David goes through his ups and his downs, his peaks and his valleys, but God is always there. Just read the book of Psalm. Get your heart right. Because he who is of God, he who has removed all the obstructions between him and God, he's the one who's going to hear what God is saying. See, sometimes we put obstructions in our ears, or they develop in our ears just naturally over time. Just because of maybe neglect. You know, when Jared first came over here from China, he was 3.5 years old. Just learned English, and so we were able to converse with him. But there was a point where he wasn't following what we were asking him to do. And so I would sit down with him and I'd say, Jared, can you pick up the clothes, please? And he'd look at me, and funny, from this side, he would listen and he'd pick it up. But whenever we talked from the other side, he wasn't responding. And I said to Joy, oh, no. See, he had a heart condition in China. And I thought, you know, all these thoughts go through your mind. Maybe it's affecting his hearing. Maybe he's going deaf. Maybe it's another defect that they didn't pick up in China. Maybe something's wrong. And so we took him to the doctor. Doctor looked in his ears, put a little bit of drops in there. And then he stuck in this instrument. And I tell you, this instrument had a little light on the end. And he began pulling out, looked like pieces from the Great Wall of China. I'm telling you. It was so dirty in that ear. It was so full of junk that this boy, little boy, couldn't hear us. How did that happen? He's might not have a clear his ear, that's why. You know, but, you know, how did that happen? Just by natural progression, the dirtiness in China, all the dirt, the streets are just filthy with dust and dirt. You know, all of that built up over time, which blocked him from hearing us. And I thought, you know, sometimes that can happen to us, can't it? Just by simple neglect, we take things for granted. We come to service and we worship, but it doesn't mean anything to us. We read the Bible and we don't let God's Word read us and read our hearts. And just by natural progression, dirt and junk begins to build up and blocks us off from hearing what God is saying. See, a man who is of God will remove all that junk from their lives. See, we can let it happen just naturally, or sometimes we can intentionally put blockages along the way, can't we? This friend of mine, we were good diving partners, and one day he kept complaining his ear was sore. He had this earache. He said, well, you better go to the doctor. He said, well, no, let me just let it go for a while. And 2 weeks later, it was just pounding in his head. He just couldn't hear. I said, well, you better go to the doctor. So he did. My brother, fortunately, is a doctor. And this guy, his friend of mine, was a bass player with the Honolulu Symphony. My brother looked in his ear and he says, Aaron, you got all kind of junk in your ear. So he started taking it out. He started pulling it out with his instrument. And it turned out to be little pieces of paper. And when you looked at the paper, it had all of these notes on it. You know, like a song score sheet? It had all these little notes on it. And we laid it all out. I mean, you could play a symphony with all that paper that was in his ear. And he said, Aaron, what are these papers of notes doing in your ear? And Aaron said, oh, I remember. I was playing and this bass player next to me was so awful, I couldn't stand it. So I started tearing the sheet music and stuffing it in my ear so I wouldn't have to listen to him. You know, sometimes it's so crazy when you think about it, but sometimes we can block our own ears, can't we? We block our own ears from God. You know how we do that? Allowing unforgiveness to exist. Allowing jealousy to exist. Not taking away the sense of pride that's covering our hearts. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's unresolved sin, unresolved issues where broken relationships have occurred. Maybe it's not loving the unlovable. And we know what the Lord has said, but yet we still allow those things to stand in the way. You know, you can't allow those things to stand in your way, like jealousy and immoralities. Otherwise, we block ourselves away from God. It's not a matter of God not speaking to us. He is. But are we in a position to hear him? See, we can't stand not getting an answer, can we? We just can't stand it. Number two, I want you to write this in. When God doesn't seem to say anything, maybe we need to set our confidence on what God has already said. A lot of times we're saying, God, come on, tell me more. And maybe when God is seemingly silent, maybe he's saying, I already told you. Why aren't you listening? Why aren't you following what I've already asked you? You know, sometimes we frustrate ourselves over what God isn't saying. Instead, we should stand upon what God has already said. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible that will never change. No matter how much life changes, no matter how many times our circumstances may change, those promises will never change. Read with me what it says there in Psalms 55. Ready? Go. As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. See, the Lord promises in Psalm that he will hear our voice. But sometimes we focus so much on God not answering our prayers, and we get distracted from what God has already said. The Bible is full of unanswered prayers. Moses prayed to the Lord. He wanted to get into the promised land. And he pleaded with God to get into the promised land. Did God answer him? No, he couldn't get in. Remember what Paul said, 2 Corinthians? He pleaded with the Lord 3 times that the thorn in his side would be removed. Did God remove the thorn? Unanswered prayers. I think the most alarming, though, is when Jesus prayed. You would think the Son of God would have a direct line to the Father, and that God would answer every single one of his prayers. Not so. Not in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knew what was going to happen. So he takes his closest disciples, Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, James and John. And in Matthew 26, it says, and he began to be grieved and distressed. And he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. In fact, in Luke, what we read today was he prayed so intensely that drops of blood began to form on his forehead. And he said to them, remain here and keep watch with me. And he went on a little from them, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Did God answer that prayer? Did God answer that prayer? He came back to his disciples, found them sleeping. Again, being deeply grieved, he went away a second time. In fact, let's read that scripture together. Matthew 26 in your notes. Ready? Go. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. And again he came and found them sleeping. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Underline the phrase, prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. You would think, wouldn't you, that the Son of the Most Holy God would have a direct line to the Father, that whatever he prayed, he'd get an answer for. Jesus himself had unanswered prayers. I don't know about you, but when I read scriptures like that, I say, hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus understands what I'm going through. Because sometimes I will pray, not once, not twice, 3 times, 4 times, the same prayer again and again, and I don't seem to get a response. You know, Jesus never got a response. Moses never got his prayer answered. Paul never got his prayer answered. Yet all of these men of God, they continued to press on. Jesus continued to press on towards the cross. What sustained him? What gave him the strength to go to the cross, to be whipped and beaten and finally crucified on the cross? What pressed him on towards that? It wasn't answered prayers. You know what it was? It was what God has already said. They all knew what God had already said to them. They all knew what God had already required of them. And so even if God was not answering their prayers, they still pressed on. They knew what God had said. They knew what they needed to do. And some of you are here today. You might have lifted up prayers for healing. You might have been praying that God will heal you or your mom or your dad or someone close to you. Do you believe that Jesus and God is Jehovah Rapha, God of a healer? Some of you may have been praying for provisions. You've been having some financial distresses, some problems in life with, we're just dealing with finances. You don't have what you believe you need. Do you believe that He is Jehovah Jireh? That He is God the provider? Do you believe in that? He's already said that. Some of you are having trouble with finances, like I said. Do you believe that in Malachi He says, test me on these things, that if you would tithe to the storehouse, if you would give your tithe, that I will open up the floodgates of heaven for your life? See, God has already said that. Do you believe that? Do you trust in that? Some of you are saying, well, but see, you don't know my situation. My situation is impossible. What did God say about impossibilities? Nothing is impossible with me. God says, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Do you believe in that? He's already said that. You might have some uncertainties in your life that's driving you crazy. Do you believe when He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding? It's already been written for us. Not a matter of God, I need to know from you. What are you going to say to me in this situation? God says, I've already said it to you. The question is, are you going to believe that? Some of you might be saying, well, my family's falling apart. You know, as a husband, you're saying, would you just change my wife, Lord? Maybe God is saying, how come I can't change you? What have I already said to husbands? Love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. Serve your wives. 1 Peter chapter 3. He says, what does he say? He says to live with your wives in an understanding way. Some of your wives are saying, well, would you just change my husband? What does the Bible say? Wives, would you submit to your husbands? Oh, I cannot submit to him. He is so ungodly. Well, pray for your husbands. See, are we doing what God has already said? So many times we're so caught up in wanting to know what God is going to say to us now when He says, I've already said these things. See, if you can't follow what He's already said, why does He need to say anything more to you? Anybody have kids in the house? You guys have kids? What do you do when your kids don't listen? When you say, clean up your room, and he doesn't clean it. Fix your bed, and he doesn't fix it. You tell him, feed the fish, and he doesn't feed the fish. What do you do when he comes to you for something else? Daddy, can we go to Chuck E. Cheese? What do you say to him? I'm not talking to you until you do what I told you to do, right? We say that as parents. And sometimes I think the father does the same with us. I've already said this to you in a gracious way, in a loving way. I've already given you everything you need to know and that you need to do. Will you just do it? See, sometimes God is silent, because we need to change our posture to tune in and hear Him. Sometimes we just need to do what He's already asked us to do. Not a matter of looking for more. But this last point I want you to catch. This last point is going to save you years off of your life. It's going to keep your hair black, in my case. For some of you, it's going to keep hairs on your head. You got to catch this last point. See, the whole book of Job was about figuring out, why is God doing this to me? And God, are you there? The whole book of Job allows us to see those questions. But what Job discovered was that, number three, that when God is silent, don't try to find Him. Be still. Just be still. See, we've been told again and again, there are biblical verses about this, to ask, seek, and knock. keep seeking, keep looking. If you seek God with all your heart, you will find Him. Those scriptures, however, don't necessarily mean that we need to go out and chase after God. That we need to go and find Him somewhere because He's so distant from us. I believe it's the enemy's strategy to get us to believe that because of some mistake that we've made, because of some lifestyle that we've lived, that God is either ashamed of us, or God is embarrassed about us, or God is mad at us, and therefore He has distanced Himself from us. The enemy wants us to believe that. And that we need then to charge after them, to try and find Him, to chase Him. See, the enemy wants us to believe that we need to find Him somewhere where He's pulled so far away. Now, the problem with that is that we can't figure out God, right? And if we can't figure out God, how are we going to know where to look for God? And when we can't find Him, then guilt begins to seep into our lives. That God doesn't care about me. That God doesn't love me. Since I can't find Him, God doesn't care about me anymore. Enemy strategy. Very crafty. But we know that, and if you don't know that by now, know this, that there is nothing you can do, nothing that you've done, that could get God to love you any more or to love you any less. His love is unconditional for you. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
His love does not depend upon your circumstances. His love does not depend upon what you did. His love is. He loves you regardless of what you've done. And if we have a God like that, why would He distance Himself from you? And so if God seems silent, it's not because He's distanced Himself millions of miles away. Now with that understanding, look at what Job did. Let's read together Job 23. Ready? Go. Behold, I go forward, but He's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive Him. And when He acts on the left, I cannot behold Him. He turns on the right, and I cannot see Him. But He knows the way I take. When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know what Job is saying? He's saying this. Now, you know, got to know something about the culture there and why they use different phrases about going forward and backward. When they're talking about going forward, it's always a progressive move. And in that culture, anything that's directed toward the east is considered making progress. So Job is saying, and in fact, other translation says, when I turn to the east, I can't find Him. Job is saying, I've tried to do everything I could to find God. And I'm turning to the east here, right? East is this way. I'm doing everything I can. I'm praying more. I'm singing praise songs more. I'm reading the Bible more. But I just can't seem to connect with Him. I turn backwards. What's backwards from east? West. I turn backwards. I turn to the west. And I cannot perceive Him. In other words, when I'm looking from sunrise to sunset, I'm scanning the horizons for God, and I can't perceive Him. So where does He turn next? He turns left, in other words, to the north. He tries to look for God where God may have been working before. You ever had that situation happen where something is not going right, and so what did I do before? Because if I did the same thing I did before, maybe I'll get the same results. I used to do that in sports. When I played volleyball, I had a favorite pair of socks I would wear. And I, because we would win whenever I'd wear the socks, I never washed them. I wanted to keep it. Yeah, it was awful. But it kept us winning games because the other team didn't want to get close to me, you know. But sometimes we do that with God. If I can't find Him now, I'll try and do the same thing I did before. And Job says, I turn to the left, to the north. But I still can't find Him. And he then says, I turn to the right, which is the south. Now, the culture of those days, in Job's days, the south was completely undeveloped. It was unknown. It was unknown territory. In other words, Job is saying, I even got so desperate to turn to places that I've never looked before, and I still can't find Him. But what does he say? Even though I looked all over, even though in desperation I tried to find Him, and I tried everything that I could think of, Even though I could not find him, you know what Job is saying there? But yet he knows the way that I take. And here's a secret, folks. Here's a secret. What Job is saying is that when God seems to be silent, you don't have to chase after him, even though you've done everything possible to find him and you can't seem to get an answer. God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're struggling with. You just need to be still. And know that he's watching over you. And know that he has your back, so to speak. He knows what your troubles are. He knows exactly where you are. Are you willing to trust him in that? And when the time is right, when he sees that you're changing your posture to be able to hear him more, when he sees that you're willing to trust in the promises and the things that he's already said for you to do, he'll show up. And he's when he sees that you've cleaned your heart, and that you're able to trust in his promises, you won't even have to look for him anymore. God is saying is that when you're in the right position, I'm already looking for you. I'm already looking for where you are, and I will be there. And you'll be able to stand in his presence. You'll be able to stand in his glory. 2 Chronicles tells us exactly what that is. Would you read that last scripture with me together? Ready? Go. For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. See, when your heart is right before God, when you want to hear him, when you're tuned into him, when you've removed all the distractions, when you're forgiven those that you don't want to forgive, when you're loving those that you just don't want to love, and when you set your heart right before him, the Lord says, don't look for me. I'm already looking at you. I already got you covered. I don't know what you're going through in life right now. I don't know what struggle you're walking through, but I do know that God is there. Even though he may seem to be silent, he is speaking. I want to encourage you to place yourself in a position where you can hear him. And you'll see how beautiful that will be when you're in his presence. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for being a God who is always there for us. That even in times that we've struggled with you, Lord, where we've wanted to hear your voice, we wanted to see your face. Father, we've gotten disappointed and frustrated. Would you forgive us for those times? Lord, I know that your love for us is unconditional. That your love for us is everlasting. I pray, Lord God, that as we understand what silence is all about. It's not a matter that you don't care. Sometimes, Father, you just want us to focus on you, don't we? And to remove the distractions from our lives. I want you to take a little bit of a moment right now just to be still. And whatever request you have to him, go ahead and lift it up to him, just in your silence. Lord, may we not feel uncomfortable with silence, but trust in you with everything we have. Would you lead us now and speak to us in your own way the things that we need to do? We will trust you with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, we will acknowledge you. In Jesus' name, amen.